Hello, patrons. Welcome to a interesting post-episode. So, Jeff, you haven't really had too much time. We didn't give you too much time. We want to save it for most of the video. Talk to us a little bit about your death.
You know, it's only been a few episodes, but I do get attached to all my characters. There's definitely that kind of sadness of, like, being excited about where they're going in terms of storytelling and the potential getting snuffed out. Mm-hmm. But I think it's definitely easier to come to grips with if you are just a guest or something like that. Like, it would have been fun to have him mosey off into the sunset and then, you know, be a guest in the future and have him come back. That'd be really cool. But when it's like a character that you are already mentally prepared to say goodbye to on some capacity, it's much more doable for me. All my other permanent characters on other shows, only a couple of them have died, but when they did die, it was like way worse because
yeah, it was a big moment. Yeah,
Vincent and Victarion were both like year-long characters, if not even a year and a half. So that was a lot harder to deal with than this. Not saying like Janice, we had some cool backstory that we could maybe talk about if Adam deems it okay or something like that. But he had some cool stuff going for him, and it was my first time playing a rogue, and it was fun. But he's gone.
Yeah, I think, Adam, where do you stand on the background stuff? Because you hinted towards it when he walked in the room. And I think you tricked everyone or tricked most people into thinking that you misspoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the dude, like Hazan very specifically, like, knew what the deal was with Janus. He could see it. And yeah, that was for me, like, my way of kind of acknowledging that and, like, gently, like, leading into that place. But yeah, like you said, like, it was one of those things it could very easily have been a mistake, but it totally wasn't. I mean, like, I think, if you want to talk about it, you're open to, for sure.
Yeah. The fun idea I had, and Adam was awesome enough to work it into the story, was, that he had a split personality, and the reason he was actually, one of the wanted people, the people that were captured and a part of this whole ordeal, was because his split personality is a murderous psychopath, basically, that prefers blades and knives and kills. Whereas Janus doesn't actually think he's a murderer or anything like that at all. He thinks of himself as a pretty stand-up, decent guy. So there's a few breadcrumbs laid out there, and it was ultimately going to result in, like, I kind of had that built in because I thought the group would have to basically rise up and kill him. Basically, he had kind of a lifespan to himself, or it was going to be a problem or something. Like, it's definitely something built into a character to make it a problem for the group, as opposed to, like, this is a part of him that, you know, is fun for the story and is built for longevity. It was definitely built as like a, oh, you guys are going to realize that slowly but surely he's falling further and further into this thing where he's going to try to murder people in his sleep. In his sleep, he's actually awake as the other person.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that might've been, and Dan and Max, you guys weigh in on this obviously, but, I think that might've been one of the biggest decisions we've made on the show so far.
Yeah.
Knowing especially how fucking well Adam rolls in times of importance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
that was not easy. That's why there was a lot of just like me, like,
I know, like, part of me was like,
because I'm like, if I just give up and we like walk out, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
As characters, as like, you know, what our motivations are, especially with the tasks that we were given, like, oh, we're just captured now. Like,
yeah,
that doesn't sound like an acceptable thing. So I thought long and hard about that.
Yeah. Part of me was like, I have to think of this as Ramus. Like, mm-hmm. Ramus wouldn't give a shit. Like, he didn't mind Janus, but like, when it came down to it, he's just not going to give up and go back to prison. Like he was just like, he just got out of prison after being in there for years. Like, he's not going to do that. And he doesn't care enough about each individual yet to be willing to sacrifice himself for that. But the other half of me was like, there's a chance that we could kill off Jeff's character. And I was just like, oh shit, this is, mm-hmm. This is hardcore.
Yeah. Hardcore, it was just a hardcore judgment call. Like, same thing for Berg. He kind of, you know, he's pretty simple minded, but it basically was like, he's like, Janus is not necessarily like a super friend, but somebody that's been nice to him, you know, and he's willing to kill on that, you know, on that, pretense. So
I think it's interesting too, like in a situation like this where things went wrong. So this is definitely a world where if things go wrong, bad stuff happens. But it didn't feel unfair. It felt like there was a chance for people to dig themselves out. There was some role playing that went into it to try and up the ante in terms of advantage as well. So that intimidation gave disadvantage on his initiative rolls. Adam rolled above average, and only two people rolled above a 10 or something like that. It was like JP and there was a 12 or something, which is a straight average, I guess. Yeah. I think he had a plus two.
Yeah.
So in those, I think that's also part of the reason why it's easier to digest. There's definitely been deaths in the past. I think even Max's kind of fits into this where perhaps other decisions could have been made, or it's like an absurdly bad roll, or, you know, something feels like someone's been cheated almost. That's where it's harder to take, I feel. In mine, I was like, shit, this will suck, but we have three rolls to roll above average. We did what we could. Narratively, I agree. I don't think it would make sense if everyone's like, all right, throw down your weapons. We're going to jail.
Yeah, we're just kind of like, well, all right, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that was another thing, too, where chat was just like, man, Adam's really railroading him to go to jail. And it's like, not really. He's given us a decision. Like,
yeah.
Adam is in no way right. He's literally saying, like, you could technically stop this if you roll well enough, or you can decide not to roll and deal with the consequences.
Like, yeah, there's like some person that said, like, oh, I'm tired of seeing them just be bloodthirsty and, you know, not take the other. I'm like, well, you gotta, like, we role play as our characters. Like,
yeah, we're literally thieves.
If I'm like a guy, if I'm Max playing a video game, yeah, I'm gonna probably, like, if this is a character I really care about and don't want to die, you know, yeah, okay, I'm gonna, you know, unless it's like a Mass Effect thing where I'm just a ruthless dude, you know, we got to play and think about what our characters would do in that given scenario. And our characters are what, convicts who now have a taste of freedom. They don't want to go back to jail because this will certainly land them back to jail and in a place that's extremely hard to get out of. You don't have any weapons. You're fucked basically.
Right. And I think even
more in jail. That,
yeah. I think even to a bigger extent, it was opposite what our original characters would have done. I think our original characters would have gone to jail. I think probably, it was completely opposite. Yeah. We would have given up.
Different circumstances though, because they wielded more power. Our dude's like, no one gives a shit about us.
Yeah. I think it worked out as it should have worked out, kind of. Well, we would have saved you, but yeah.
Yeah, this particular circumstance was a bit different from what we've seen in Court of Swords and sort of with D&D generally, is that when you lose a character, it's often the result of a fray, right? You're in a battle, you're making rolls back and forth, things turn against you. Maybe there are some tactical choices you can make differently or whatever, but it doesn't often happen as a result of a single moment that you don't really have control over at all, right? Where it's like, okay, fictionally, this is the situation. Here's what's going to happen if we make that roll. It's not like, well, I attacked you and you expected me to attack you because it's combat and that's how it goes. It all kind of comes to a head on a single roll, you know. And like I could have very easily been like, you know, the guards just stab you a bunch more times and when the players show up, you're dead, right? Mm-hmm. But that felt, I wanted to give the players another chance to interact with that situation. So I was like, no, they're cops. They want to take you in. They care about life. One of them is a worshiper of the sun that isn't a total dirtbag. And so like I wanted to give you another opportunity. But the character stopped being, once we got to see that monk and stuff, he stopped being like an abstract thing and became a person just trying to protect his own life. And things got bad, and so that's just kind of where it ended up. And then, there was just bloodshed. They both died anyway, which I think is interesting because it speaks to the point of, like, there wasn't going to be a win-win for both sides in that situation, right? Like, because of the way that your characters are and because of the situation that stands.
I did enjoy our argument back and forth.
I like that, too.
Yeah.
Well, and it was a cool opportunity to see that the way that the religions kind of like work, and that just because so often in fiction, like, oh, you worship the sun? I also worship the sun. Let's hug and be friends. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's like people who follow the same religion don't always agree about stuff. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes sense that, like, yeah, that your God doesn't really care. And that you, your power, however you want to use it. And I like that. I think it's cool.
Yeah. I'm interested to see where the show goes now with Jeff, who kind of, I think, embodies a forward thinking when it comes to character creation, and Sean, who kind of just comes in and kind of wings it, like, who's not too familiar with the system, where you kind of need to be in a show like this, where thing is really, everything's kind of deathly, very deathly. I'm interested to see if
the show... he's a gamer too.
He is, yeah. I want to see if the show changes tone, if it becomes like super lighthearted, if it turns into a fucking dating sim, or like how this is going to go from here on.
Yeah, no, I'm expecting a period of total chaos.
yeah.
Like there's a storm coming.
I was talking to him, and I have an idea of kind of the voice that he wants to do, and if he does that, it'll be a period of chaos for sure, just because the voice alone. So
fantastic. I'll be ready.
Yeah. But yeah, Jeff, for you, any unanswered questions or anything in the world that you were super interested in tackling?
I mean, yeah, I'm mega try hard role play guy. So like, you know, I'm a little, the continuing sadness is not existing in Adam's world here anymore, because it seems fun. I love your characters, Adam. They're really cool. The straw hat mysterious guy that now has appeared as a herald of death both times, but just knows more than normal characters do. Really intriguing and fun, and has a little bit fuck you from Janice. You guys now have no idea that he even met that guy. So
yeah, that's true. We have no idea even what happened in this room besides a fuck ton of arrows and two dead bodies, and you were tied up. And we killed the guy that would have known why. So to us, it just looks like something happened. You got your neck snapped, and we're like stuck in the middle of a city right now. And we have to go to a monastery to retrieve a fucking bracelet.
Murder all around us that we did, with guards aware of our scenario.
Yeah. I leave you in good hands, gentlemen.
Yeah, exactly. It's real rough.
I'm excited to, you know, I like the leveling aspect of D&D, and I think 5th edition does a fairly fun job of each level being pretty rewarding and fun as it goes up. Obviously, like 1 to 2 is a pretty big leap. There's definitely like leaps there, but I'll miss that. That's cool. But like I said, I think a lot of this is more easily digestible for me, A, with how it was done, but B, I'm about to start a whole nother show. So as long as I get to roll some dice and play some shit with some friends, I'm on some level very happy, but I'll miss you guys.
On the show. Super, super fun.
Yeah. Your character's been awesome for comedy and serious role-playing as well.
And for just putting numbers into the fucking fights that actually benefit us, because we're not very good at that, it turns out. For some reason, we just really suck at fighting sometimes. Yeah,
my guy had god stats, and every fight he got knocked out, it didn't matter. Like
I knew when that fight started, I was like, even though you're level 2, a rogue fighting by himself,
You can only take so many hits. Yeah.
You can. Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, you'd have to have rolled really well and killed the guys like one per round until it was over, or I knew it was going to go bad for you, because rogues don't have staying power in that way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's funny though, and I want to say this so that people know this out there, you can game this a lot more. I didn't need to jump over the counter. The guy has half cover or three quarters cover. I can still shoot him with my bow, but I thought what he would do is like he misses a shot or deflects off of him. He's screaming, so I thought the more, like, narratively speaking, I thought he would jump over that counter and just try to silence him at close range, because he's actually pretty good in close range as well. Yeah. And additionally, it dawned on me, too, like, I was doing a power shot, and that was a big part of the reason, was because I wanted thematically just to end the guy in one shot, but gaming the system with sneak attack, I most likely am one-shotting most of those guys on an average roll anyways, or very close to it.
Yeah.
So, like, there's going to be, and there's not as much around this show, which is really nice, but it definitely in previous shows where it's like, if you don't fully game the system, there's just going to be a number of people that are like, that was stupid, you deserve to die. But all I've always been like, I'm going to play the character. There is going to be some gaming, obviously, because that's what's fun for me. But if my character's like, well, fuck, that's a big dragon, but I have the dragon slaying sword, I'm going to go fight the fucking dragon. I'm not going to be like, let's save up and max out levels by killing squealing pigs in the forest for 2 weeks. You know, like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
The other thing too, just to theory craft a little bit, what would the he has the dodge action, right, Adam?
You can take it instead of an action. It's not part of your cunning action.
Oh, it's not part of a cunning action.
No, it's dash, disengage, or hide. You can't dodge with your cunning action.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know what I could have done if we're ultra gaming this? Is what I could have done is go into hiding, which is like a 95% I'm going to be hiding from these guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Hold attack action and make the trigger that they come too close or something like that. Then I'd get two shots off basically on opening up with that. So they would either down a guy or maybe even both.
Yeah, that's true.
But again, I played it the way I thought he would do it.
Yep. You know what we should have done? We should have given you those fucking healing potions that we have.
Oh, I forgot we had those.
I totally forgot we had those till now.
I took a very light hit for like 5 or whatever, and then I took a 14.
Yeah.
Like, no, okay. It wouldn't have mattered. Yeah. It wouldn't have mattered. Yeah.
No, I took a 3, then a 4, then a
12. Yeah, then that big one at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
was that a crit at the end? It was, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a crit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. For 14.
Yeah, which is a lot.
D8, he rolled an 8. And then for the bonus damage, he rolled a 6 out of an 8.
Yeah, pretty good damage. Pretty good damage. So, well, we're going to miss having you here on the show, Jeff. But yeah. I think you'll be just fine over on Mr. Harper's show. Also, I think we're just – I haven't told him this yet, but I think we're – fuck John. We're just going to call him Harper. It's such a cooler name. Just Harper. It just sounds, hey, Harper, how's, like, that sounds like a cool name.
He sounds like a teacher that teaches history.
Mr. Harper. Yeah, exactly. He's a history teacher. Exactly. I think that show will be a lot of fun. I'm excited to watch it at least. I think a lot of people are too. So
yeah, I'm hyped.
Yeah. I'll probably tune in a little bit to see what's going on there.
Yeah. Jeff, any closing words here? We gave you some closing words on the show, but you want some for the Patreons only?
Yeah, just a shout out to the patrons. Like, it's funny because I'm in a hotel right now, but the audio equipment back at home is amazing. Couldn't do it without the support of the patrons and what they put into this. And just, you guys got a great show, and it's awesome, and it's cool to see it blossoming too. Like, as you guys play more, because there's such a learning curve. My God, the first time I did a D&D show, we were a joke, and it just grew into something way more serious.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
for sure.
Not saying you guys are a joke, by the way. I think you're starting off a little bit further down the road than we did. But it's just fun to watch. It was fun to play, and it was pretty seamless. It's cool. You know, I haven't done that much with you, Dan, but, you know, Gassy and I, we've hung out a few times, and it's so it was cool stepping in. It was really fun, and I'm excited to see where you guys go.
Cool stuff.
Mutual's a good timer.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been fun.
So that'll be it for Mr. Did you have a last name, or were you just Janice?
It was just Janice.
Okay, I didn't think you had a last
name. Which is the Two-Faced God, by the way. I thought that was a really clever name.
Okay.
I had this whole plan laid out. I'm just gonna figure it out eventually. But
all right, well, that'll do it for Jeff and for Janice. We'll see you guys, I think, next week for a show. Again, like I said, I don't know if Sean will be joining us. I just trolled him live on stream with that Jeff died unintentionally. I literally messaged him saying, "Hey, Jeff died," and he goes, "Wait, what?" And I go, his character. Apparently he was on stream and he told 6,000 people that Jeff died and they didn't take it that well. So that's fun. I'm going to go watch the highlight of that. We'll see you guys next time here on Court of Swords. We're out. Have a good one. Bye-bye.